Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, issue 129. That is right, guys. We are back for your weekly podcast information and talking and chatting about everything comic book related, sci-fi, fantasy. And, of course, I can't do this by myself. I can, but I choose not to because it's more fun with a friend. That's what they say. Isn't sharing is caring?
I care. I mean, I too have done some shows without you, but it is not the same.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Even though sometimes I want to do my Ace Frehley and think, you know what, I'm going to go for my solo album. I'm like, nah, I can't quite. I got to keep the band together. So that's why. Because I love it. And I like doing it with you, Mike. So just saying.
So this week and weekend, we've had a lot of fun things drop. A bunch of cool trailers came out this week. We've had a great movie that dropped this week. Damn the fucking critics. I don't care what they say about this movie.
I disagree with the critics so much. When we get there.
Yeah, we're going to get there because we're going to start with this off the bat. We want to get this one out of the way because I have put a restrictor on Kane talking about anything about the Eternals.
And believe me, I tried last night when we have our little conversations at night and the weekends. And maybe I'll post it on the Facebook page for, you know, one of our fans to join us one time for a little late night sessions. But anyway, I was trying to get some words out last night and I was forbidden.
Foreboding. Yes, that's right. I think you and I like blow our load about it. We get so excited and talk about it late at night when we're here. We're like, yeah, you know, it was okay.
That's all we said.
It was fine. Yeah, it's good. what did you think? I mean, after the wait, you know, for so long, the casting news for this movie had been going on for so long. You know, I think it first started off with Selma, then we heard about Angelina, and then, of course, we hear about Kit, I think, was the next one in the casting. What did you think? I mean, was it up to the hype? Because I know you and I both are sort of we're more DC tendencies than Marvel. So we knew about the Eternals. I think a lot of times, I think most of it, we knew about the Eternals from one of our favorite DC runs, from Jack Kirby, The New Gods.
Well, if you listen to this podcast long enough, you know how long I've been a Kirby mark.
Yeah. So well, you and me both. Yeah. I've been a fan of The New Gods as well.
Oh, man.
So I kind of knew the Eternals in a way, but I really wasn't like full on board with them. But so what'd you think, man?
Well, before we get there, let's go back a little bit further into I talked about this with a common friend of ours last night. Is we went into the Acme one day. I think we met up there, and I think that was the day you picked out a Howard the Duck comic book and you framed it and you left it in your room. It's like, yeah, it's a cool little thing. I'm like, yeah, cool. That was the same day that I saw an Eternals comic, which was issue number one. It was like a reprint, and I was like, you know what? I don't know too much about the Eternals. Let me pick this up. So I picked that one up, read it. And, you know, I went because the movie had just been announced and all that. There's casting and I'm like, OK, let me get it. And then we get to the film itself. The cast is good. I like the fact that they all interact. You would think with a big cast like that, like people get lost. No, pretty much everybody has their moment in the sun in this film, I would say. They all have like a little moment, some other, more than others. And we'll get there. But the casting was really good. It's a thick film.
Oh, yeah.
What I mean by thick film, it's very story related, especially the Celestials. It is huge on the Celestials, the Eternals, the Deviants, backstory. Huge in that. These guys have been around for 7,000 years. So they're going to be involved in a lot of, you know, stuff with the world, which I dug the way they interweave like world history with the Eternals and how where they were at some moments in time. Mesopotamian War. I think they were in Greece. Just a lot of stuff they were involved in, but weren't involved in. And the way they did it was, to me, kind of seamless. I dug it. I was like, OK, you know, we haven't seen these guys before. What happened with them and Thanos? Explained right off the bat. They cannot interfere because of the Orishim, the judge Celestial. That's what I love when we're going to that deep. I did a post yesterday on our Facebook page. I didn't spoil anything, but I said we are going heavy into the cosmic world of Marvel, and this is basically you touched on it in Thor.
Oh no, we touched on it in Thor. We touched on it. We touched on it in Guardians. We've touched. Guardians. This is not us going deep. I mean, this is this is us going deeper, but it's already been touched on. Yeah, that I never made the comment on there, but yeah, no, that was I didn't think that was we've been living in the cosmic side of it.
Living in the but we're going deeper into that cosmic world, very deep. Is it the best Marvel film? No, not to me.
No.
But it's a good Marvel film. To me, it's right up there. I think like people say, oh, it's not really a Marvel film. I go, to me, when I watched it, it was a Marvel film.
Yeah.
It has the handprint of everything on it. It's a thick film. It's a dense film. I didn't know. Like, if you don't know anything about the Eternals, you will at the end of this film. There's some stuff going on that leads into other stuff, which we'll get to. But I enjoyed it. I was trying to think when I was watching this film. And I had just finished working out. I went to the gym. I showered. Went straight to the theater after that.
Had to get that workout in there, didn't you?
Of course. Got to get that. Got to get my swole on. So I went there. And the theater wasn't too packed. I always sit in the same seat whenever I go alone. I sit right by the aisle just in case there's a fire. I want to get the hell out of there.
Okay.
So, shut up. So anyway, I'm walking in.
Back row center for me. Sorry, man. I want to die in a fire. I'm going to sit right where I can see everything.
I don't know how you guys always sit way back. That's another discussion for another podcast. So I was thoroughly involved in the film, like from the beginning to the end. I was like, okay, this is good. And I'm trying to think, okay, what are they going to hate about this film? Okay, there's a lot of backstory. I get that. Okay, it's dense. I get that. Those were there. But other than that, like, I didn't see anything. Like, why would they rip this film apart? Like, I didn't see anything.
I honestly think it's because it's
dense, maybe?
No, because it's not a familiar characters. These are not familiar characters. Just like I think when Captain Marvel came out, a lot of folks didn't like that. They thought it. I know a lot of folks were saying, the feminism power and all this, that was like the big cause of it. But I think it was also the fact this is a new character that a lot of folks don't know about.
Yep,
you know, Carol Danvers as Captain Marvel is a fairly new Captain Marvel. There are other Captain Marvels well ahead that, you know, and again, that's my issue. It's like, why didn't we start with those and then come up to her? Got no problems with using Carol Danvers, but why didn't we have to jump right to her and ignore and like basically crap on everybody? And now in the television series runs, you know, the streaming service, now they're going bringing Monica in. I'm like, really? Kind of trying to correct yourself there. But I think a lot of it was that these were not known characters. You know, in your standard common movie-going people, they know Iron Man, Spider-Man. You know, they know those main characters. They can say, oh, that's so-and-so. I know what he looks like. Nobody had any ideas about these except the hardcore sweaties. And even me, there was a few of them I knew, but not all of them. I wasn't familiar with all of them.
Same way. Like, we'll get to the one later on, which I did know. But, like, some of the ones, like Gilgamesh, didn't know too much about. Who was the other one? Who was the fast girl? She was like that's not Sprite. That Sprite was like
the little kid.
The one who was like the Flash speedster girl. I didn't know about her. And Druig, I didn't know too much about it either. Even the Deviants, like, I didn't know Theos. I didn't know those guys. So I was like, okay, like a lot of characters was not familiar with. But again, I dug it. And you cannot tell me. You cannot tell me Deborah Chow did not watch Man of Steel if you're seeing Icarus. Icarus had a lot of Superman-type mannerisms
in him. But that's Icarus. That's got nothing to do with her. It's like saying whoever, you know, John Favreau, you know, watched too much Batman because Tony Stark was a billionaire with toys. She used the source material, so that's not her. No, you're talking about Makara is the
Makara, yeah. Okay. A lot of Eternals names I don't know of. I probably can't even name all 8 Eternals right now. I could try, but like I said, I dug it. I mean, there's nothing to me. I'm really struggling hard to figure out why nobody would like it. I mean, yeah, it's not run-of-the-mill Marvel movie. Maybe it's not entertaining. Maybe it's not a lot of action-packed, and there's not too many action-packed scenes in this film. But I dug it for the story.
Are you kidding me? I mean, there's a lot. I mean,
compared to like other ones, there's not really a final. Well, there sort of is a final battle.
Yeah, there's a big final battle. There's the introduction battle at the very beginning, and then we have a couple of small battles, like the one in the forest, and then we have a few like flashback battles. So I mean, there's it's
I love the flashbacks, by the way.
Yeah, no, the flashbacks were some of the best parts of the movie to see, you know, because I'm a history buff. I'm sure you are too. That you get to see that kind of that stuff, seeing Mesopotamia, seeing Babylon, and seeing, you know, seeing how they what they did and how they grew, and you know, different ways that they impacted, you know, life. Even going back to, you know, the atom bomb, going, you know, him sitting there at Hiroshima. Ooh,
man, that scene of Faustus and Ajax, man, that broke my heart, dude. When he's sitting there on that field and he's looking. He's like, I did this, because Faustus is basically the guy who like comes up with all the designs for engines and stuff. Like, for he's supposed to be like the father of invention, I guess that's what he's supposed to be. But seeing his face and why he left humanity was because of the atom bomb. He's like, this is my fault. And Ajax was like, no, it's not your fault. It's their fault. You know, they took what you helped design and they did all this. That's on them. And then he lost humanity. He comes back later on. You find out that, you know, he had a little bit of faith in humanity again. But the characters are so well done. And yeah, the history of the whole thing about it, like the way they weaves in with Marvel, I dug it. Would I watch it again? If it comes on Disney Plus, I'll watch it again. I'm not going to go to the theaters running to see it again. But I dig it. I just like it. It adds more stuff. We're going deeper into that cosmic world. And when we get to the post-credit scenes, it sets up more stuff than I possibly was like, okay, we're going there. But I dug it. Like, if I had to give it like a straight jacket, I give it 8 out of 10 straight jackets. That's how much I dig it. I mean, if I watch it for the second time, maybe I'll change my mind. But right now, it's 8 out of 10. Yeah, solid.
But I mean, I think a lot of folks are just having issues. And again, I think it all came out. And I didn't see that much representation. I know that, you know, that was the big like talking point for a lot of the what's the best word? I always use the term the fandom menace group. But that same group that just dislikes anything that moves forward in a story or in a society. A lot of the things I heard from that group and from a lot of folks that it was very LGBTQ and that there were these weird representations, extra representations. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah, like, I saw one gay couple, which I thought was probably the biggest heart of the show or of the movie, was Faustus and his husband. I thought it was awesome. You know, and that, like you said, that gave him that human connection again. That, you know, he was in love with the humans again. You had to, you know, Gilgamesh and Athena's relationship, which I thought was great. You know, that he's there for her. He's a friend, but he loves her. But, you know, it was just interesting. Like I said, I didn't see, other than the representation that they all were different races. And I'm sorry if anybody's got any issues with that, but that's ridiculous. I mean, they're supposed to be representations of the gods, basically, of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They all represent a god of basically all the worlds, you know. And I just thought that was ridiculous if that was the big thing. And then, of course, you know, the biggest one was all these negative ratings coming from Rotten Tomatoes from the critics. You know, they had 296 reviews from critics that all just pandas gave it a 48%.
It's so strange, man. I can think of other movies that deserve that. But Rotten Tomatoes, then again, is not really an indicator for me. It's just, I got my opinions and you have yours. But it's just so strange how it's rated that low. Like, Thor: The Dark World is rated higher than this film. And I'm like, what? And Thor: The Dark World is not a very good film, but it's entertaining. And I thought it was, I think Eternals is better than Thor: The Dark World. Like, ugh.
Yeah, well, again, but that's one of those movies. I was talking to a friend of ours that I always go to the movies with, and I, you know, we were talking about, you know, how this is getting panned, and, you know, this was like the highest, lowest rated, like, you know, panned movie for Marvels next to probably Iron Man 3 and Eternal or in Thor: Dark World. But years later, the way the story arcs go for these stories is those two actually became better based off of what happened in other movies.
Mm-hmm.
We're being introduced to a whole new phase. This is like we've had restarts or, you know, phases starting up differently. This is like brand new because guess what? This is the first true sequel post Endgame. I mean, if you really sit down and look at all the Marvel movies that have been coming out lately, we haven't really had a Marvel movie other than Black Widow.
Well, that was a prequel, and Far From Home was after Endgame.
Exactly. This is, those two weren't, well, Black Widow was Marvel. Spider-Man was sort of that Marvel-Sony thing going on there.
This is the first.
Yeah, and this is the first true one starting a new phase. So yes, it's going to be kind of like a sort of shock to this system. Like, this isn't what I'm used to. And everything's going to just keep going. And I love the things that we saw at the, you know, the trailer, the end credits, two of the great ones where they're introduced further into the cosmic world. And then we step foot into something I know you love, the magical world and the mythical world. So we're, you know, we've been introduced with that with Doctor Strange already. And we've seen some sides of that already. But now we're seeing more and more, you know, coming out with we're not going to spoil anything. But yeah, there's two post-credit scenes. One continues the Eternal story. The second one goes into a great, awesome new direction.
I think I heard a rumor. I think we talked about it a while ago that they said that when they go forward in these phases, you're going to have one phase which is going to consistently be in the cosmic world, and the other one which is going to be, you know, on the ground level. And when you see those two post-credit scenes, you'll understand what I'm saying, because one firmly is going there. And the other one staying here, and when we get something else happen, I don't want to spoil it. But if you guys have looked online, you'll see. But
yeah,
it's you're going to, like Mike said, you're going into this different. It's a brand new phase. This is like clearly the introduction of that next phase, because we're going here. Like Endgame is gone. Like we're like 3 years past Endgame. That's done. That phase is done. Now you're going to introduce this next phase. And I think it's going to be two different types. I think you're going to have that space world, and you're going to have the stuff that's going to go on.
Well, yeah. We're also going to have the more the mystical world, because, I mean, really, when you look at the next series of movies coming out, they're all going to be based around the multiverse now.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to, like, this is kind of setting precedence that, hey, there's a cosmic world, there's the mythical world. And, well, right now we're going to see more mythical creatures and more mythical happenings. Because even when you look, I mean, another thing that came out this week, a new extended trailer for Morbius.
Yeah.
You know, and like, everybody's like losing their shit. And one of the big questions that keeps coming up, and I don't understand why they keep asking it, because, like, you guys don't get it. And they're like, well, what world is this in? Because you see Michael Keaton, you know, Vulture. You see the poster of Spider-Man saying murderer. And then at the very end of the, you know, the trailer, you see him, you know, joking around with the villain. And he's like, what are you? Who are you? I'm Venom.
And nah, I'm just kidding.
This is post the multiverse split. So he's already in a world where everything's linked. So I'm like, why is everybody confused about like what they're in? Because this movie takes place, obviously,
right after Venom.
After Venom, and all the worlds are connected. Yes, I think his home world, his original universe, is the Venomverse.
I think so,
because they make a comment about in the trailer about, hey, there's a stranger than that thing we saw, about in San Francisco.
San Francisco, yeah. They name drop Venom a lot.
Yeah, they name drop Venom twice. Then you see, like I said, you see Vulture. And then, of course, you saw that the poster of Spider-Man is nothing new. We saw that in the first, you know, trailer that came out.
People were trying to tell me that's a poster of Andrew Garfield. I don't see it. Have you seen that?
The image is very similar to, not Garfield, honestly, I'd say more McGuire. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But I do have to tell you, though, with Eternals, though, the ratings for the reviews have dropped, for the critics. It's gone down. Originally, it was like at 59%. Now it's at 48%. But the audience is rating it like at an 81, 82 right now. So
it's a good...
The audience is loving it.
It's to me, it's a good movie to go see. Take your family, take your girlfriend, take your boyfriend, whatever. It's a good film. Even if you know nothing about the Eternals, like literally, this is one of the first films I knew of the Eternals, but I didn't know a lot about them. I knew about the Celestials. I knew about that. When we get deep into that Celestial world, because if you guys don't think the Celestials are going to be a big part of this next phase, they are.
Oh yeah, no, definitely, yeah.
I will firm.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting it. We just got introduced, you know, the movie. You know, one of the post-credit scenes, we're getting introduced to even a further into the Celestial kind of idea. Icarus is still out there, I believe. You know, we're seeing more and more, and exactly how it ended. I mean, that was probably the best. I don't think we've ever had a true cliffhanger like that, except for Infinity Wars. Like most of the Marvel movies end.
Yeah,
we're not stuck with like what the hell, other than like I said, Infinity Wars. I can't think of any other one that has left you hanging like that.
Yeah, literally, too. Like, the way it happened, like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I guess somebody's pissed off.
Yeah. But,
But if you get a chance, guys, go watch it. I mean, don't, like, to me, like I've always said, everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I think the critics are dead wrong on this. I think it's a good film. It's solid all the way through. It's a long film. Like, it's a lot to backstory. But if you're a fan of world history, I think you'll like it. If you're a fan of the next phase of Marvel, you'll like it. If you're a fan of the cosmic world of Marvel, you'll like it a lot. Like I said, there's a lot to unpack going forward because they're going to do some things, and I'll talk to you about it off air, which I can see one particular character coming from this. They don't hint at him, but I have some suggestions of how he might fit in.
Right.
So, it's a good film. Check it out.
Another trailer that dropped. We're going to stick in the kind of the Disney MCU. Well, not MCU, but Disney World. We're going to talk about Boba, the Book of Boba. I got to ask you, man, what did you think about the trailer?
That was okay.
Thank you.
I wasn't all blown away. Like, it wasn't like, you know, when I saw the Mandalorian trailer, I thought it was there. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was nothing earth shattering to me. I mean,
it's I expected.
You're keeping that same vibe of the Mandalorian, looks like. We're going into that Star Wars gangster world, which I kind of dig. So I guess we're going to stay there. Hopefully we'll get some backstory of how, you know, Boba survived the Sarlacc pit. I think they would have to.
Right? I don't know. He may just talk about it, but I just there's so much out there in legends and stuff. I don't know if they'll really like concrete it up.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just wasn't. Yeah, I wasn't like blown away. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was just. It was. I was like, I got done watching it. I literally was like, I'm not gonna. Yeah. It's not. It didn't deter me from watching it. Like I'm not like, oh, I don't want to watch it now. But it didn't get me excited either. That's why I was like, so I was like, this doesn't do anything for me. You know, as a fan, I expected something more.
There was no pop to me. There was no big pop. Okay.
Like cool. if he was, you know, like we know he took over Jabba's, you know, palace and everything. Like you said, the Sarlacc pick, I would have died. I would love to see him like, you know, freaking, bomb the Sarlacc pit from it, or see him peeing off the side or something, you know.
That would be rad. He was like, oh, you bastard, like that. Can you imagine if just that's the way it begins?
I mean, just something, yeah. And like I said, it was a lot of flashes, and what I thought was very interesting was one of the characters of Twi'lek that I was like, who the heck is that? Like, it was a very focused scene. No words are given. And I had to look up the actress.
Jennifer Beals, man.
Jennifer Beals from Flash Dancers and the L Word.
Unbelievable.
Is in the Book of Boba. So I guess we lose the boss, Sasha Banks, because she's not returning. Apparently, we haven't heard anything about her returning.
Yeah,
from Mando.
Sucks. It sucks.
So, we get Jennifer Beals as a Twi'lek. Which is fine. I mean, I didn't expect to see Sasha Banks come back because that means that, you know, the rest of the Mandalorians can come back. I think he's going to be drifting off into his own story now. You know, now he's without the child, you know, and so I don't see them, you know, although she does have to come back because they kind of left them all hanging in that ship.
Yeah. So. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I think she does need to come back.
At least for an episode. But yeah, now, okay, I'm glad. I was kind of iffy about it. I was like, man, should I feel bad that I'm not excited?
It was okay. It's kind of like the first time when we saw the Batman trailer last year. I was like,
don't even say that this is nowhere near your disdain for that trailer. We literally had a weekly section based off of your opinion about that.
You actually made theme music for it too, which is actually kind of cool. Yeah, and as much as I hated it,
So don't put these are two different levels here. This is the Batman one you despise, and
that's not a lie.
I think I even heard you said you were going to burn an epitaph in your backyard to it.
Yeah. I think that did happen. By the way, I was like, what is this garbage night? I think one night last year when it came out, I got pretty hammered and I went out to the backyard and I found this magazine cover of it and I just burned it. That's how mad I was. Like, this is garbage. Of course, you flash forward to this year. It's a totally different story.
Yeah, which I knew. I knew that was going to happen. I knew they were going to find a good bat hook and hook you, and they did. Yeah. And some more news. I don't know if you saw this, but hearing news about the Green Lantern show on HBO.
It's going to be dark.
Which I'm kind of excited. I was hoping, because I mean, it's not what you want. I know you want a Hal Jordan-esque show or a straight up Jon Stewart show. I like that this is the Lantern core.
I like, it's okay, but you gotta show John and Hal there somewhere. Did they announce they're going to be on that show, Hal and John, or they're going to be like more of the veteran types? Or I think they said Hal was going to be the veteran type, and John was going to be the one who's like the young guy coming in. That was a report last year. I'm not sure if it's still the same, but it's going to be dark, I guess. I mean, there's a lot of dark stuff going around in the universe and Green Lanterns. You know, they're space cops. They got to keep shit in line. And
well, I know that they're going to have. They've already cast Alan Scott, so they're going to have Jeremy R. Irving on there. So basically kind of the previously character descriptions have been revealed for each character. So obviously, go team Gardner. They're going to have Guy Gardner, who will be betrayed by Finn Wittwerk, and is described as having a deep undercurrent of pain driving his outward alpha male nature, which that's basically kind of the story behind him. Alan Scott, who is playing, is the image of a heroic perfection, but hiding his homosexuality. The newest one is Lantern Bree Jarda, who's half human, half alien. And
is that one made up of the series itself, or is that an actual character from the Lantern Corps?
No, I believe that one. Yeah, the name looks familiar.
Okay, because I didn't recognize name.
Then see, also other characters included are going to be Jessica Cruz and Simon Baez. So yeah, that's one thing. I don't think they were going to be casting them, because it's, again, the core. It's not about them specifically. It's,
I know,
about
it's,
the core.
I get it. It's fine, but I just think, you know, you have like two of the most popular Lanterns out there. You're not going to use them. It's almost like,
well, why? It's like having a Batman show without Batman.
We've had that before.
Yeah, we've had that a lot. So it's not that different. It really is not that different.
Well, they haven't shown these guys yet in live action. That's what I'm saying. Like,
then we don't. This is where how you introduce them. You show the core. You show the nature of the core and what they are. Then you bring these guys in and make them even bigger, because guess what? Their world is already created. You don't have to introduce Hal Jordan and then introduce the whole Lantern world and their function. You introduce it in a ensemble cast where you have all these different characters, and then you bring them in, and now you already know what the world's like. Mm. And then now you can focus all on Jordan's stuff. But again, see, to me,
you know what?
Jordan is the boring Lantern, because he doesn't have a lot of baggage yet. When he first rolls out, he's just Jordan.
He gets the baggage with the
later
rainbow.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking into the 90s, doesn't he? He gets the baggage with, you know, Central City getting burnt down, and just you want heavier baggage. You've got it with Alan Scott being a closeted homosexual. You've got it. I know you hate him, but you've got it with Guy Gardner, who's this over alpha masculine male who's got other shit inside of him. And then you've got the new characters with, you know, Simon and with Jessica Cruz. So much more baggage and so much better written characters there. John, yes, I think would be best to be in here. Not Hal. If they're going to bring a top dog Lantern, I would definitely say more John Stewart than Hal.
When the Green Lantern name comes to your mind, who is the first Lantern you think of? Just curious.
Honestly, I know I hate to say it, but I don't really think of one specifically, because to me, it's always been the core.
Yeah, it's I get
in
you.
In my mind, you're asking me straight up.
Yeah, I'm asking straight up.
In my mind, it's always been the core. And then after that, I'm drawing a blank on his name now, but his image always pops in my head. Kyle.
Kyle Reiner.
Yeah, to me. He always pops into my head, because I think he just had it. He had it shafted to a man bad.
Especially what happened to his girlfriend with the refrigerator.
Yeah.
If you guys don't, I forgot what issue it is. His girlfriend meets a gruesome, spoilers. It's been out for like 20 years. His girlfriend meets a gruesome death inside of a refrigerator.
Actually, it's so funny is that scene became a big talking point in how women were treated in comic books.
Yeah.
It became the girlfriend in the refrigerator. It literally was the term that a lot of activists wanting women to be represented a little bit better, that became a sign to it. I see and I agree and I disagree, because yes, you need something that over the top – to do what happened to him, to that character, you have to have that.
You needed that emotional trigger that's going to make him go somewhere else. You needed that. Like, sometimes you need a pain like that to foster the next stage in his evolution. And that's what happened with Kyle. He went to a different place. Oh, and you even said it with Hal. When he lost Coast City, when Coast City was destroyed, what did it do to him? It drove him literally insane.
Yep.
And he went on a murderous rampage, which led to the Parallax character, which was awesome in the comics. And that movie was horrible. Oh, but hopefully they learn from their mistakes from that movie. And, you know, now thinking about it, as you say it, I think it is better to focus the core dot one character. Maybe at the ending of season one, like, you know, Hal shows up, hey, man, you know, I'm here to help you guys out or something. That'd be the kind of a cool image to see. Because it is about the core. You're going to learn more about, hopefully we'll learn more about the Guardians. Maybe the other rings will make an appearance too, because there's like the whole spectrum of rings out there that, to me, honestly, I wasn't a big fan of for a while. Like, I was always a fan of the green and the yellow. That was it to me. I think later in the 90s, they started introing the white, the black, the pink.
Well, you bring in the yellow. You need to bring it in and have a reason behind it. Again, that's something that, if anything, about that one movie you just talked about that you hate about it, or everything you hate about it. But the one thing I loved about it was the moment with the core. You know, seeing Kilowog and seeing the rest of the Lantern Corps was what made that movie good for me. I wasn't a fan of, you know, Parallax and what they did there. I wasn't a fan of how, as much as I love him as an actor, and, you know, he's the perfect man. You ask any guy, Ryan Reynolds, his representation of that character was bad, but the rest of the world was amazing. And I think
the stuff on Oa, fantastic.
So I'm saying if they would have just started with the Oa and probably done one of my favorite animated Green Lantern movies was the Lantern Tales, where they were telling different stories. If they would have introduced him that way and introduced little tales, then branched off with him, then I would have been completely happy. But basically what they're saying is the tone they're talking about for this is going to be possible darker tone outside. A lot of people are comparing it to like the Watchmen series. If anybody got a chance to watch the Watchmen series,
so good.
That was really good. It did address a lot of issues. And guess what? That's what comic books do. No matter what fucking people say, I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of YouTube channel you have and the amount of followers, and you get mad because comic books address political and social, you know, things. Same thing with fucking Star Trek. Sorry, I know we got a couple of Star Trek fans out there. Guess what? Star Trek addressed social and political things going on in the world at that time. This is going to address, you know, the issues of bigotry, homophobia, and just so much more. Just get over it, guys. That's what we do. We take our art and we put a mirror to your face about, you know, culture. Yeah. We do that in comic books. We do that in television. Just get over it. And yes, we're going to see that here. And that's one of the, a lot of folks had issues with Watchmen, was that it did that. And that's when you know you got good writers and you got a good story going on, is when basically a mirror is held up to the audience and they get upset about it. That's when you're like, okay, they're doing something right.
Yeah. Because you get to reflect, oh, wait a minute. I was making, dude, it's been going on for so freaking long. I got a comic from the 60s.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Discovery. And honestly, the only reason I don't like Discovery is they took this really strong character, Michael, and they make her cry every episode. And to me, that's not a strong woman. That's not a strong female character. A strong female character doesn't break down every other fucking 30 minutes into crying. No. Yes, that is a realistic woman. I've seen a lot of women break down and cry because they're mad. Like one of our friends, she will break down and cry because she is angry because she's upset. she will tell you that. And, you know, that I get. But, yeah, no, Michael just like broke down and cried just because every, you know, it's just like, why are you doing that? Stop.
I haven't gotten to that point yet.
Oh, you'll get there.
She has cried, you know. I'm like, okay, I guess she's an emotional character. But from what you're telling me, she turns into a big ass crybaby. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not looking forward to that. I do like the Spock character, though. I like the way they portrayed him. He's kind of good. Like he's not doing a Leonard Nimoy impersonation, which I like. He's just Spock. Like, you know, they said a long time ago, and I think you know this for sure, they had a discussion of, like, you know, why didn't the new trilogy work? Because, hey, you know, because we're influenced by Star Wars, so we're going to make it like Star Wars. And what Jon Favreau said, I think, is you told me, he's like, no, The Mandalorian is a series of the things that inspired Star Wars, like Kurosawa and all those Westerns. And you could see it. Same thing with like this little thing. So everything's about influence. So.
And they're kind of doing the same thing. If you, I don't know if you got a chance to check it out yet. Just started was the Star Trek Prodigy, the animation. That's on Nickelodeon. Definitely, it's Star Trek world based, but it's got a flavor of Star Wars to it. Like when it literally started, it felt so much like the latest Star Wars game, Force Unleashed, with Kyle. Shit, I can't remember, but it had very, very familiar feels of that game. And
it's gonna kill me not knowing the game.
Yeah, I know, it's pissing me off right now. And but
okay, it'll come to me.
But
keep going.
But it has that feeling. But then you start getting it; it starts twisting into. Fallen Order, by the way. Jedi Fallen Order. That's what it was.
Okay.
But yeah, it's got that feel of kind of that environment. Because again, we're starting off with alien races in a different sector of the universe. And then what they happen is they come across a small like training vessel. And then they take that over. And then that's where, you know, you're introduced that Janeway is basically the holographic trainer. And that's when I think we're going to start seeing the Star Trek, influence coming in. So I'm looking forward to seeing what it does. I thought it was a cool intro into it.
Check it out. I haven't seen that. I'll finish Discovery. I promise I'll finish Discovery.
It's all right. You got other ones you got to finish first. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So what you got anything?
I got something. Where'd it go? Sorry, guys. I closed up a page. Did you see the, speaking of trailers, there's another one, one of my favorite series, and I guess yours, Stranger Things, dropped season 4 trailer. I think it was 2 days ago. And,
No shit. I missed that, man. Fuck.
Yeah. It came out. And I was shocked too. I was like, oh, shit. The first thing I'll say about it, I like the fact that when a show is on for a while, it shows like the growth literally of these kids. Like in literally season 1, they were all like little kids. This trailer, like Finn Wolfhard and like the girl who plays 11, they're like, they're 20s now.
Well, yeah, they haven't come out in 3 years, so they all grew up.
They all got that growth spurt. They're like teenagers, like, hey, man, they've had the deep voice. I was like, whoa, okay, I guess we're here now. So, yeah, this trailer's pretty good. Didn't show too much, but it's a lot of action, cool songs, and I dig it. So we're in California now, by the way, for season 4, I guess, because they moved out of Indiana. Cool. So they look pretty good. So looking forward to it. No release yet, but
I think it's supposed to be like in January, I think is what I saw.
And I believe from what the Duffer Brothers have said, nothing confirmed, I believe this is the last season.
Yeah, I think so, yeah, because I mean they're again like you were just saying, the kids are getting older.
Older, they want to do other stuff. Like Finn is doing other stuff now. He's in the new Ghostbusters Afterlife movie, so she's got stuff going on. And
yeah, Miley Bobby Brown's been doing. I think she's on work on the second Enola Holmes
movie. Which the first one was pretty good. I dug it. It was fun. Like I never read you were telling me about the books it was based off of. Like I don't know anything about this character, but again, another film that I was thoroughly entertained by watching. And Henry Cavill's barely in it. That's all her film.
Yeah, it's all hers. Yeah, he's just kind of there for a little bit.
He's there, yeah. And he was good for the scenes he got his home. But then I was all right. Okay. You know, I can believe it. A gigantic ripped, Sherlock Holmes. That's fine.
So we've got some news from Marvel again. Looks like they have, they are in discussions about the mutants. We have, there is talks that we do know that the Thunderbolts are heading in production in about a year. Fantastic Four, and they're working on, which I think is awesome, they're working on a Nova movie, which I think will be out, which I love Nova. And also, they are beginning, and there's a rumor right now of just that, but they're looking at restarting an X-Men animated series, which
they have to keep the song, though.
They can change it.
No, they cannot change it.
Stop living in the past. Move forward. Yes, you are. You are. They got to have this song. Yeah, that's living in the past. No, it's not.
You can do like a violin version.
No, there's no reason. Because it's not the same world. It's not the same story. It's not even on the same channel.
I still want it.
I know you want it, but just, you know, like I said, let it go. Move forward. But yeah, I think it'll be an interesting one, especially because since they released the on Disney Plus, since they released the original one on there, that's been probably one of their highest downloaded runs. Where, like, when that first came out last year, that became like one of their biggest downloads.
I started watching it on your channel, so I think I'm on season two now. I think we just hit. No, I think I'm on the season where they do the best portrayal of the Dark Phoenix saga ever. That's been on live screen or animated or whatever. It's the best one. It's the most accurate. Like, the two live action ones were garbage. So I'm checking it out.
Well, again, this is something. Same thing. I think I've always said about it is, like, if you give it a chance to breathe, the story's gonna, you know, come and be natural. And that's what they didn't do.
Well, they rushed into it.
Well, you have to, unless you know that people are gonna hang around long enough. Yeah, you got one movie to tell the story.
It should be drawn out like a miniseries. Well, that's just me. But can't wait. Is anything casting? Any other rumors?
Nothing yet. No, I mean, it's you know, it's going to be an animated one. So, I mean, the casting is, you know, kind of mute, really. It's just, as long as they're great characters that they have, you know, great voice characters, I think they'll be fine.
Okay. Just wondering. Oh, I guess I go. Have you seen the first look at her name is Lori Holden as Crimson Countess? For The Boys season 3, there's an image online of the.
I did see that. Yeah, I was like, oh man, that looks. I thought that looked really good.
Yeah, it looked pretty dope. So I guess she's going to be the main baddie of season 3, along with I think Jensen Ackles is still doing Soldier Boy. I'm not sure if he's going to be friend or foe, because I haven't read the comics in a while, so I'm not sure if he's going to be. But then again, the boys are you know, the seven are kind of dicks, so they are kind of villains. So I guess he's going to be along those. They're all villains.
Well, they got to kind of fill them in because they've been losing some people.
I think what's her name? What is it? Red Tornado? What was her name? Purple Tornado? I think she's going to come back, even though she was like blown up and dismembered. It's the Vought organization. They'll bring her back. Maybe she'll be like a cyborg or something. But I think she's coming back. But yeah, that's Crimson Countess. Looks pretty good. I don't remember her in the comics too much. Like I said, I didn't read too much of The Boys. I know you did, so I'm not sure if it's accurate or not.
It's been iffy accurate. It's kind of one of those. It's got certain things like I think you and I discussed. You know, the very first episode when we see, you know, the introduction to some of the characters were just way off. So we'll just see what they do. They've kind of gone on their own path, which most do. I mean, that's the one thing I've been watching this. This fan site about the World of Time, or the Wheel of Time. Sorry, and you know, it's just listening to all these guys. You know, they've started to get a little bit more like ravenous about it now. Like, oh, this isn't how it's supposed to be. Da, da, da. Guess what? This is not supposed to be direct ripoff of the books or the comic books. Just this is a story telling for now. Mm-hmm. You know, these books were written back in the, you know, early 80s, you know, mid to late early 80s. They've been around, you know, there's 14 books. They've been around forever. Just there's going to be a change. Like in this story, just, you know, nothing that's not really a spoiler. But in the books, they talk about there are three people that could possibly be the dragon. In the trailer, they make a mention of five people. So now all the fan bases are losing their shit. There's only supposed to be three, and it's a three guys, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, there's two girls that they'd like to incorporate into the possibility of this. And then that's when they lose their shit going, well, they can't make one of the girls a dragon because then that changes the whole story. Yeah, that would change the whole story. So don't think they're going that route. But guys, just because they said it changed the number doesn't mean it's going to change the path to get there. And they're just... There are a lot of folks who are just losing their shit about it, you know, so it's...
Don't you think it could be like a misdirection, too?
It is. That's what they're trying to do, I think, you know, just to also have inclusion for everybody, because there are three guys that are the story, but really when you're reading the book, if you've ever been part of ever read these books, the two girls that are in here are just as big of a part of the story as the guys are. In fact, the one that becomes the dragon, like the main guy, I hate him. He's the worst one. I'm a fan of one of the other guys, you know, and it's just I think the main guy that becomes this person, he's the Luke and Anakin kind of thing. He's the golden boy, but he whines and bitches through the whole. I'm like, fuck you. Shut up. Just well, stop bitching. You got two other characters that are going through almost the same shit, and they're fucking knuckling down and dealing with it. And I was like, those are the guys I'm after. Yeah, those are the guys I'm behind. But Netflix, did you notice that they have announced they're finally starting to do a casting for the Netflix The Last Airbender for Avatar?
I saw that. I saw
Daniel Day Kim was going to be that on there. For Fire Lord Ozai.
Fire Lord?
I cannot wait.
Actually, I started watching a little bit of that series. I think I'm five episodes in. Like I said, I'm watching a lot of stuff at the same time. So.
Have you ever watched the whole series?
No, I've watched the first five
episodes. And I can see, okay.
Yes. So I can see what people have said, you know, of that M. Night Shyamalan shit that came out like many years ago, which was garbagey, but for like an animated show, there's a lot of adult stuff in there. Like,
oh, you're only on the first five episodes, dude. Wait till season two and three.
This is like a lot of like
they delve into some deep.
And it's what kills me. It's an animated show, which is it's ripe to make a live action version. That's what kills me. And when I saw the live action version, I was like, "What is this garbage?"
Now he's
and
a fan. That's what
he was a fan. Like, damn, like, if with fans like that.
But, yeah, no, that's, yeah, no, when you get into the last two episodes, last two seasons, they really get deep into it. Very, very Buddhist in their teachings. Like, there's literally an episode talking about how to unlock your chakra, and this is deep for kids to watch on Nickelodeon. Ooh. I mean, there's an episode where they talk about each level of your chakra and how to unlock it, but the way they tell it to you, it's just, it's very deep. And you get it. And anybody that has ever wanted to, you know, follow that journey and start on that journey, they really do it. That's why when I heard that, you know, when they did the second Airbender series, I was like the Korra one. I was like, wait a second. But then I realized it's Nickelodeon. They've always done great and they've always done it right. And just like what we were talking about earlier, the Star Trek episode or series, it's Nickelodeon. I trust them. I've never seen them go wrong when they are bringing a product in.
Agreed. Aqua Teen Hunger Force is from there. What else is on there? I think, dude, for the longest time, the Family Guy. No, not Family Guy. I'm thinking of Adult Swim. My bad.
Well, it's yeah. You're thinking you're thinking Cartoon Network on both of those. But yeah, no. Nickelodeon. When like I said, when they do it, they do it really well. It looks like Prince Zuko's already cast. Dallas Liu was on there. I think they've already. Cast Katara and Soko. Those are already cast. They haven't cast Aang, which is really going to be the tough one to cast. And that, again, I think that's really where, like, where Shyamalan kind of like went off on a weird little tangent was casting him. And I just don't know if he had the special effects down just right just yet. I think that's like it is a strange story to bring live action. It really is.
Well, that's why I'm glad it's going to be on streaming because there's a lot more, like we've always discussed, and I think many moons that we've been doing this is like we like the journey and the story. In a movie, you get so much time to get a story in there. Sometimes you're cramming stuff in. With a series, you take your time, especially with this one. Take your time. You know, I can't wait to see that episode when they start delving into the Buddhism stuff and the teachings. That's going to be dope, especially when you got a series. It's going to take its time. And I like that. I like the fact that we're getting like these big, you know, IP projects. Sometimes they're like, oh, it's a big IP. Let's make a movie of it. Now they're like, you know what? I want to tell a good story. So you know what? Let's go on Netflix. Let's go on Hulu. And I think for, you know, the series that I've seen, like straight to streaming, like I just finished Lock and Key. I don't know anything about Lock and Key. Nothing. You read the books. But the story through both seasons has been really good. Like I like the adventure of finding these new keys. Where do these demons come from? What about the family lineage? Just little hints they do. And I think with a movie, you can't do that. But a series, you get your time to develop your story and make the characters and build them up and see their journey. So I'm looking forward to it. This looks good.
Definitely. Also, what'd you think about the casting for the rumors kicking around for Jim Carrey?
I thought you were going to bring that up. I kind of like Patton Oswalt as MODOK, man.
Well, after what we watched this weekend, we know he's already cast on something. So I was okay when I saw what he's voicing now.
I dug it. I know we're not going to spoil it, but you knew it was his – voice right away.
Yeah, there's definitely hints of it. Like when he plays MODOK on the animated series, it's Patton's voice. On this one, it was a little, you could see, he could hear he was doing a little bit of an accent to it to kind of change it up. But
dude, I don't want to spoil it for any of you sweaties out there, but when you see who he's actually voicing, it's a kicker for me, because I couldn't even, I was like, what? And then you go from there to like, ooh. That's why I said in the post, I was like, we're going deeper into that cosmic world. Yeah. But Jim Carrey is MODOK? I mean, be an interesting choice. I mean, I'm just basing it on his past performances. I mean, he can do it, certainly. I've seen him go dark, number 13. He's got the dramatic chops, Truman Show. Hell, he was good in the Kick-Ass series, that second movie, which is terrible. He played like the sergeant. I thought he was.
What about his most recent one, Sonic?
I thought he was. Yeah, that's Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah, Dr. Robotnik. Yeah, think about his most recent one. I mean, when he played in Sonic, I mean that was just awesome. So yeah, I could definitely. I was like I posted on our Facebook page. I was like, yeah, I kind of would prefer Patton to do it, but it was before I saw what Patton was doing. I was like, okay. Now I get why they're, you know, possibly looking at Jim Carrey, and it's always great to have that extra star power, you know, especially when, you know, seeing what route they go with him, or who do they throw him against? Because you know how Kevin is, he's not going to always throw him against what we expect him to go against.
No, Kevin never does that. He's like the king of misdirection.
Mm-hmm. Him and Vince McMahon need to work together.
I think they should. Especially WWE, they need some good storylines nowadays. God knows that. That's why I had to shut down Lobos and chair shots for a while. Why I do some remodeling. But yeah, I mean, him as MODOK, I could see it. I would dig it. I wonder what they would put him in. Like if you're gonna change the MODOK story for the MCU, like would he come from like maybe Oscorp?
No.
Like that. Like, if you're just going to, like, do, like, you don't want to do, like, the straight adaptation from the comics, but I'm talking, like, the MCU-verse. Like, where is he going to come from? You think maybe, I don't know, like, technology from Wakanda gone bad, or...
Why have him being Earthbound? Why not keep him introduced with the cosmic side? I mean, you're introducing more and more cosmic.
Maybe the Celestials made him?
Maybe. Maybe he's, you know, running a shot with somebody that was introduced recently, you know?
Ooh.
Somebody's brother that showed up, you know,
at that's some point. Not a bad. And actually, that when that scene came up, I was like, wait a minute. Oh, and when they go through the whole little spiel of like who he is, I was like, damn, we're getting sweaty.
Yeah, when they brought him in, I was like, okay.
Like, I wanted to text you and tell you, I was like, we're going here. Yeah. That's how I was smiling. Like, okay. Like, literally, I was like a little kid. Like, okay, we're here. The cosmic world. Yay. Sorry, I just got giddy just thinking about that scene. But yeah, I guess you could do it. Maybe he's like the he helps Celestials design Eternals. I don't know. There's a lot of ways you could do it. I could see it cosmic. I mean, I would prefer Earthbound, but hey, it's Kevin Feige, his story, his rules. Does whatever he wants.
But yeah, exactly. Yeah, he can do pretty much whatever he wants and play with them however he wants. Nobody tells me how to play with my toys.
And he still has a lot of toys to play with. Lots of toys. I mean, people think, oh, well, he's blown his load with all these major characters. You go, not really. Once you go to the cosmic world, there's a lot more. Dude, Nova, one of your favorites. They haven't even touched Nova yet.
Well, no, we just were talking about it. They're in the plan. That's when I said Nova for the planned movies coming up. That's what I meant. Is that Nova?
Oh,
which is going to be interesting because, you know, with how everything happened, the Nova Corps is dead and gone. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they how they go about doing this.
They probably will rebuild the core at some point that the helmet comes on. I suspect. I think the first time you'll see Nova is at the ending of Guardians 3. I think maybe not show the character, but maybe like the ending you see the helmet.
Yeah, that would be the time to do it because Guardians were, you know, mixed in with Nova Corps.
Yeah, so they're ending, and you could literally pick up the next series with Nova. And Nova's a cool character, too. Yeah. And like I said, we're going deeper. And
well,
like,
again, it's depending on which version of Nova they go with. That's the one that's up in the air. And some of the chat rooms I've been talking with, that's the one that's like, which route do they go? And that's, you know, see where they go with that.
Yes, it depends which way they go. And I'm sure he's got sweaties out there.
He'll, oh, yeah. Dude, trust me. He'll, yeah, he'll pull in the right one. He's not going to go with some strange one, I don't think. Of course, you know, we can talk about, you know, what he did with Captain Marvel. So,
yeah. Yeah. And that was one of your favorite things. I know that.
So in the last one I have, and this is just for me being a really deep, dirty, sweaty. It looks as though there is a cast reunion going on. It actually happened this weekend, but they're going to continue to be doing this virtually. The cast of Stargate has gotten back together with the main writer, Brad Wright, and they have brought in the cast of Michael Shanks is coming back to play Dr. Jackson, as well as Amanda Tapping is coming in. You're also going to see Roddy McKay from Atlantis, and then also Jewel Stott. She's going to be coming in playing Jennifer Keller. So they're all coming in. They're playing. They're doing a show or a read along to a trailer called the Stargate AI. And so for any of you sweaty Stargate fans out there, check it out. It is on their Stargate, their official page that they've always had around. You just got to sign up for it and be part of their group. But it's interesting. Some things have come out. A few guests are on there that everybody wants.
Is Mike Judge going to be there?
He should be there. Yeah.
Christopher Judge.
Yeah, he should be there. And then a few others that I saw some images on that like pop in that aren't part of the cast for the AI, but they are old members of the cast. And there's been a lot of talk, especially since just recently MGM has been sold to Amazon. And Stargate is actually, by December, will be removed from every streaming service out there except to be purchased on Amazon. And there's been a lot of talk and a lot of kicking around that possibly, you know, that's where they're going to be, you know, being played at, but also of a restart and a rehash and bringing Stargate back.
It's a perfect time. I mean, we're getting a lot of stuff rebooted, reimagined, or whatever the word you want to use. I think for me, I'm not a big Stargate sweaty like you are, but for me to see like a redone, a reimagining, or reboot, I'm down for it. Like I said, I watched the first season of Stargate when it was on UPN9 before CW.
Actually, no, first season of Stargate actually was on Showtime.
It originally
started on Showtime because when you watch
it, I saw it on UPN9. I never watched
that. That was where it went into syndication. No, it originally aired. I think it was the first two seasons aired on Showtime. Actually, that's why in the first two episodes, there's nudity.
Way.
Yeah. So, and then it got moved over to Sci-Fi. But yeah, in syndication, that's where I started watching it. Actually, with my dad. He would come and visit us on the weekends, and we would chill out on Saturdays and watch. And I just got hooked. I was like, what the hell is this? Well, I was a fan of Stargate the movie. It's like, how the hell did I miss this? And then I became hooked. And then, yeah, that's a whole another podcast for me to do Stargate. Because I'm
soon the Hero Sound Network.
I'm literally in the middle of watching. I'm actually on season 3 right now, rewatching it for my sixth time.
You make fun of me rewatching Supernatural, and you do the same thing.
But I stop watching and watch something new. I'm still watching new stuff. You pause on everything, and you just go full Supernatural.
I stopped. I'm done with my third rewatch. Now I'm watching.
But I can stop in the middle of my watch alongs for Stargate. I'm watching you. I'm watching. I was watching the Squid Game thing. That just got stupid as hell.
Oh yeah, is it overrated, man?
It's overrated.
It is like people swear, but oh, it's so like
First episode's awesome. It's so much fun. I thought it was going to be all of that, and then it turned into bad dialogue.
I'm like, what is this? I go, this is what the craze is about. Yeah. This, I don't know.
All right, guys. Well, that is everything for us. I'm sorry. What else were you going to say there?
No, I was going to say something. I go, do you think if I put on my Facebook page that I'm watching Squid Game that Facebook would have an issue with that?
No, I think probably not. Probably because like, you're not, you know.
You're not watching Eternals?
Yeah, you're not watching Eternals. Apparently, they don't like it either. And just so you guys know, just recently we joke about this. Kane and I both have gotten banned on Facebook for posting that we went to see the Eternals at two separate theaters at two different times. Like, he and I weren't, yeah, just randomized that apparently – Facebook doesn't like us watching Eternals.
I posted that thing and literally like, what? And then you were like, they're like, man, that sucks. And then like, what?
No,
like
couple actually, no, like the right when we started recording, I just checked my Facebook page real quick and you've been banned for what?
I go, out of all the things, like, did I curse? No, I'm just watching Eternals. So you hate Eternals.
Yeah, neither one of us actually wrote, like, commented. We just went, I'm here watching this. That's it.
Yeah, it was like, okay. Just strange.
Good but, old Facebook. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, make sure you guys do check us out here on Here's Asylum. Of course, every week we do come out with our awesome show, and also on our Facebook page where we have a bunch of events or little daily events going on. So make sure you guys do check them out. We do have a couple of, like, not polls, but just opinion stuff going throughout the week. This week we're going to actually today, which will be Monday when you guys should be listening to this or when this got released, we have a list for your favorite music themed movie. So check that out, because this week or this month on Midnight Movies is our music month. We're starting it off with The Runaways and then going to be watching Pick a Destiny. We're going to be doing a review for Walk the Line. And then, of course, we're watch along for The Doors. So if you guys want to join us on that, let us know. Check those out. But you can check those out at The Midnight Movies. And what else you got there, buddy?
Check us out on social medias. We've been a little quiet on there. That's on me. But that's going to change shortly. Twitter at the @TheHeroesAsylum_podcast. Instagram at the Heroes of Sam. Another note before we get out of here, Lobos and Chair Shots, like I said, is a little bit on hiatus, but I do have an issue. I do have a plan, and we will be back soon. Check out the Facebook page of Lobos and Chair Shots for some updates. And as always, from Mike to me to you, get to the asylum. See you soon.